or hindering God or grieving the Holy Spirit. Limiting God, hindering God, or grieving the Holy Spirit. I just found out that they're all the same. Hindering God, limiting God, or grieving who? The Holy Spirit. In our text in the book of Psalm 78, verse 38. Psalm 78, verse 38. It says, and I'm reading King James Version. It says, but he, and I'd like you to listen, please. It's important that you listen, please. But he, being full of compassion, being full of what? Compassion. Forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. 39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited and what? Limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. They doubted God. In their heart, they grieved God. And they limited God. They hindered God. They stopped God. And the Holy Spirit has warned the church about repeating this mistake that these people made in the wilderness. Because if we do the same thing, we'll get the same result. We limit God and grieve him and hinder him. In Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath. See, they grieved him. He swore in his wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So you and I are warned to draw from the example of Israel. Because if we don't learn from them, we repeat the same mistake, we hinder God. And what hindered God was their unbelief, was their doubt. In Hebrews 3:12, we are further warned. Hebrews 3:12, we are further warned. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Did you see what they called it? What did they call it? It's evil. We think that stealing is bad and all of that. This is the murder of them. an evil heart of unbelief and see what it does. It separates you from God in departing from the living God. And the church is being warned of this evil of unbelief. What is doubt? Doubt is that you started out to believe, but somewhere along the line you doubted. You started out to believe, but somewhere along the line you what? You doubted. And at the point which you doubt, I want you to listen to me this morning. At the point where you doubt, you stop God. I want to tell you something, church. Your healing can start and stop. Your healing can what? Start and what? Stop. It can even stop and then you get nothing. Everything destroyed. Your miracle can start and stop. And you're baffled. You're wondering. A miracle, let me repeat that. A miracle can what? Start and may not be consummated. It's not automatic. You can doubt God. At that point, you doubt God, you hinder his hand, you stop the miracle. It can even go so bad that things go barakata. Open your ears and hear me. I'm telling you the truth. Miracles are not automatic. And so in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, we saw a miracle that started and ended in disaster. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. He constrained them. He didn't beg them. Apparently, they didn't want to go. So he constrained them. Constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And sometimes when God gives you something, you think winds will show up. And when they show up, you're surprised. You haven't been reading this Bible. From Israel till now, when God gave them the land, there were giants right there. And God said, you go fight them and take what is yours. Church, I'm begging you, grow in Christ and be strong. Because there are battles to fight. There are battles what? He constrained them. So you go across. He must go. Go, all of you go. And yet, in the midst of doing what he told them, a big wave came. Serious wave showed up. And so sometimes, because God is doing something for you or using you to do something, or we think that everything must be cool. It's not true. The devil challenged it. If he's not challenging it, I doubt if God is behind it. That's why sometimes when trials come, I see Christians, they're like, Pastor, come on, man. That's what it should be. When trials come, rejoice. The Bible says, count it all joy. It shows that God is doing something. That's why the devil is interested. Have you seen a thief that goes to an empty warehouse? They don't go to... a thief won't come because you have $2. He will come when you have money. Somebody was foolish enough. I think he won money and on Facebook or whatever, he was showing it. So in the night, they went and cleaned it up. Real story. They stole all of it. A thief doesn't go to where nothing valuable is. The devil goes for precious souls. So that God is doing something in your life or doesn't mean troubles will come. They usually do come. Can I hear amen? Amen. But when they come, count it what? A joy. This means, wow, I got something he's interested in. That must be very, very valuable. Now I've got to hold fast to that which I have. So there was this wave that showed up. It was contrary, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. But why didn't Jesus say to them, don't go, there's going to be wave. Stay here until the wave. Why did he say to them, go? And you must go. Go and confront the wave. So, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking where? In the midst of that wave. The wave didn't stop. But Jesus was walking. And he's teaching us that the wave can't stop your walk. That wave cannot what? Stop your walk. It's not powerful enough. Tell your neighbor what I said. They didn't hear you. Walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not what? Afraid. And Peter, blabbing Peter. No, Lord, sorry. That's not what. No, I don't have to use that. It's not right. It's not. No. Sorry. Okay, verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me what? Come unto thee on the water. And he said what? Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. What did Peter do? Now, this is the point. You know, everything that God tells me to do or tells you to do, you don't have to be praying about it. Just do it. Just do it. All this, give me grace. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. How can, if God tells you to stop gossiping, just stop. Come. The man stepped out and started there. Because that word come is all you need. God said stop. Forgive. He said, Pastor, there's spirit of unforgiveness. No, it is you that is the spirit. You simply don't want to what? You want to drag it on because of what you think they did to you. And you are ruining your spiritual life doing all of that nonsense. Just, brethren, I don't know. Just ruining your life. Being a spiritual mediocre doing all of that. If God says forgive, simply what? Walk on water. Tell me, which one is more difficult? Is it walking on water or forgiving people? Walking on water is difficult. Oh, yeah, go and walk in the ocean. Jesus said, come. That's all. And the man stepped out of the boat and stepped on water and started. So if God says to you, stop, you can stop. Stop lying. You can. If I'm lying, it's because I don't want to. Let's call a spade what? Anything you and I we are doing is because we don't want. It's called rebellion. The reason we don't want is because either we're enjoying it or giving up pleasure or plain stupidity, foolishness. Because that thing that God is telling you is to take you away from the thing that will ruin your life. That's why he leads us in the path of life. But we don't want to. So we go to God and say, Lord, give me what? Grace. I need your grace to follow. Abandon leg, follow. To follow. He says, I have already given you abundance of what? Grace. What are you doing with what I gave you? Paul went to God three times. He said, this issue. God says, Paul, I've given you grace. And my grace is sufficient for you. Paul said, now I'm not to rejoice because I have what it takes to handle this. Tell your neighbor and say, God has given you what it takes. Amen. I always tell myself, hey, this man, don't deceive yourself. Sit down, let me talk with you. Don't deceive what? You don't want to stop that. With all these connect things, it's just wasted. If the doctor will tell you now that one more, you are dead, you stop. If you go to, and the doctor says, you see, it's gossiping. Once you gossip one more, you are dead. You will never gossip again. Never. Never. But that is fear. And let me tell you how long fear lasts. Until the fear is gone. Then once the fear is gone, you don't feel the symptoms again. Because fear doesn't change anybody. So once God says come, you can come. If God says stop, you can stop. If God says stop gossiping, stop gossiping, stop gossiping, stop gossiping. Your tongue will kill you. Stop, stop. You should stop. Amen. So they said to Peter, come. And what did Peter do? Peter came. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30. So now listen to me. Walking on water, is it a miracle or something? Come on now. Yeah. So a miracle started. Destination was to... But that miracle ended in disaster. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind, what? Boisterous. He was now afraid. And beginning to sink. At what point was he sinking? When he became afraid. When he doubted Jesus. The moment that doubt came, the power that held him went away. The man started to sink. Became a disaster. It was now a rescue operation. Yeah. You can have, I don't care what that is, and God starts working in your life. God gives you healing. God starts working. The point to start doubting him, that thing starts. A lot of Christians are so surprised how my experience is not continuing. Find out why you started to doubt. Amen? I said amen. Unbelief, on the other hand, is inability to believe God at all. Doubt believed, and something started, but somewhere it doubted. And then, you know what Jesus said? Why did you doubt? That's what he asked Peter. I said, why did you doubt me? Why doubt me? I told you to come. You think I'll put you in jeopardy? I told you to come. You should have trusted. Now, unbelief is different from doubt. Unbelief is that you never even believed at all. You are not persuaded about the truthfulness of what God said, about the reality of God. You are not persuaded. So you didn't believe, Lala, didn't believe at all. And because you didn't believe, nothing starts at all. Nothing what? Start. Nothing. And Mark chapter 6 show us. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? See where the trouble started? Familiarity breeds what? Yeah. Kumuyi taught us this many years back. Believe you me, I didn't understand it. When your pastors teach you something, I want you to be humble and listen. Don't throw it away yet. Keep growing. There'll be a point to record that and I say, oh, wow, is that what they were? Don't throw it away. It's not true. My friend, go and sit down. You don't know what they're talking about. Keep growing. When Kumi was teaching this, I didn't understand it. But now I do. So many things he thought I didn't understand then. But now this thing is coming up to me. Say, that's what he was teaching you. That's like, wow. He taught us about familiarity, how it blocks you from being blessed. He taught us, my wife was there. And how God told him that these people are not going to be blessed because of familiarity, what they are doing now. You know, you can get too familiar with Christianity. You can get too familiar with God. Get too familiar with church. Get too familiar even with pastors that you, if they're teaching you. You can. You can get, you know, something can become a tradition. Get too familiar with prayer. Get too familiar, you know, you've been there a long time. The thing drifts into tradition. You can be in that mode. But that's a terrible mode to be, because that stops God. Yep. And you become unteachable. You know, one of the things they said about Billy Graham, I beg you, you should watch the service, his burial, is it burial service? Funeral service. It's not funeral, it's funeral. You should watch his, doc, is that right? Funeral, right? Right? Okay, funeral, you can sue me. I'm begging everybody to watch that funeral service. You will learn a lot. That man's life, amazing. He lived what he preached. From his own children, not from outside. You know, your children will tell everybody how you are. The daughter said, what my father preached was his life. And he gave examples. How he walked in grace. Walked in grace towards all the children and towards everybody. But they said something about him, that he was teachable even in old age. He would call the daughter to come and read scripture and teach him in old age. They said he was so teachable, so humble. The daughter said, my father would say, come and teach me. He said, when he was 80-something or so, when he was losing his sight, it was 1 hour they could go. But as he said, deteriorated, they could just go 30 minutes. But he said, even if it's fast, he would say, teach me. Come and teach me. And they said, the Bible was his authority. Did anybody watch it? They said the Bible was what? And he preached Christ. Watch that thing. After I watched it, I said, hooray, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Bible will remain our authority. I will preach Christ crucified. You can get familiar. I'm not kidding you. I've been around. You can get so familiar that you drift into being unteachable. And pride is so subtle, it can blind you, and you will never know. I'm telling you, you will never know. For instance, I didn't know I was a proud man. If God didn't tell me, I would never believe. Because in my own eyes, I was so, and he told me that's the worst type. I'm not kidding you. I didn't hear it from a human being. He told me. That when you become too proud of your humility, that's the worst type. Yeah. So these people drifted into familiarity. He did all the mighty work. They saw it. And they say this teaching is powerful. They said it. But they say he's a carpenter. He's a carpenter. I want to beg you. You don't have forever to live here on earth. And you don't know where you're living, this earth. Don't get too familiar with God that the things of God become common to you. The Bible says, God says, don't call what I'm doing what? Common. Don't do that. You come to church, don't call it common. You hearing someone, that's why people come to church, they're not listening. What is common? Some people are silly. Call it common. But you hinder God. You do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I came newly here, we're going to church somewhere, my wife and I, my whole family. We never, the Sunday school we're attending was beginner's class. Do you know, my wife was making notes. They were teaching us salvation. And I said, what note is she? She was right. They were teaching us salvation. And one day the Lord said to me, say, she's doing the right thing. Say, if you humble yourself, I will teach you more. You can't know enough. You know, after Bible study, the Lord was asking me, say, what percentage of scripture do you think the Christian knows? What percentage of scripture do you think the average Christian, what? You say, will you put it at 80 or 50 or 20? He was asking. He said, the average Christian, he said, what percentage of scripture do you think he knows? And what percentage does he even believe? So let's continue. What verse was that? Verse what? Verse what? Verse 3, yeah, that's right. I'm looking for 3 in my own iPad. If I don't say 3, I will throw it away. I've seen 5. I don't see 4. Neither do I say 3. I've seen 2. I've seen 4. I don't see 3. Okay, let me start from where I've seen 3. It's not this day, what? Carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah. And they started to name his brothers and sisters. And are not his the sisters here, what? With us. And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. And in his own what? Household. I'm not kidding you. That's true. Absolutely true. You know, when the Lord says something, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And verse 5 is what is teaches you how the what happened because of all of that. And he could there what? Do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand on a few sick folks and hid. So you want, if you stop God and hinder him from working in your life, what options do you have? Tell me what options you have. He couldn't heal them. The Bible didn't say he could not. They stopped him. And the next verse, verse 6. Verse 6. And he what? Marveled because of what? Their unbelief. They couldn't believe it. They were not persuaded. See, doubt will stop God. Unbelief will also what? Stop God. So what gets the job done is a persistent faith that doesn't waver, that is always persuaded, that doesn't come to a point and start doubting. That's why the Bible said, if you doubt, if you waver, you will not be able to receive anything. Because you started to believe, you start wavering. Then you start sinking. You won't receive nothing from God. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything, what? Of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I go further to say that is a lifestyle, though. A lifestyle called unbelief. Now, Abraham is our example now of somebody who did not doubt God, did not stop. He was persuaded. He believed the word of God. Even when there is nothing, physical to show that what he believed is true. Now, before I read this, I want you to look up here. Please, I want you to listen to me. There is nothing God is doing that is physical. Nothing he's doing that is physical. There's nothing he's doing that's emotional. There's nothing he's doing that is mental. Everything God is doing is spiritual. Spiritual in origin. It will show finally visible. But it is spiritual in what? Origin and manifestation. For the things are seen, the things that we see are made by the things. That's why his word is spirit. His word is spirit. It's life. God is a spirit. Faith is about things in the spiritual realm, in the unseen realm. That's not revealed to your senses yet. It will show up there. But the work is not from outside. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So you can't locate God by watching at the outside. You can only locate him by your spirit through his word. Because what he's doing is in the spiritual realm. So when you start trying to locate God by what you see, you miss the point. Because what you see may not line up yet with what he has done. But you stay in faith. Finally. For sure. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was why Abraham was not looking for God from his body or Sarah's body. Because he knew that this work is not physical. It's what? He was locating God in the spirit realm. My word is spirit. That's why I do my job. So he was locating God where God was walking. What the word has told him God has done, which is not revealed to the senses yet, but finally as it came. For the things that we see are made by the things we don't see. If you understand this, your faith will strong. Because what the devil tries to do is to move your eyes to try to locate God outside. And say, no. Your issues of life do not start from outside. They start from inside. So you looking what? In your spirit. You are saved. A new creature. That's inside. That's a spirit. Healing, spiritual. All those things are spiritual. But they show up finally where? They are not emotional in essence. They are not physical in essence. They are not mental in essence. They are spiritual in essence. Your emotions can pick it up later. But emotions is not what determines what God is. Because God is not a man. God is a spirit. Can I hear amen? So if you want to walk in faith, you must understand all of this. So you'll be able to locate where God is and what God is doing. And when God says, I've done this, you stop looking at it. This, he said, I know this is a spiritual reality. And he said, it is all done. He said, the work was finished from the foundation of the earth. Did you get what I'm saying? Eh? So we can proceed now. And let's read about Abraham. Run out of time. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of what? Many nations. I have made thee. Is that what God said? Church, come on. What did God say? I have what? I have what? I have what? I have what? So when did he make him? The moment he said it, became a reality. The moment God says the thing is absolute truth. If God says this exists, it exists. I have made thee, God saying, I have already done it. The word that comes to you introduces you to the reality of what God has done. It introduces you to what you don't see, but it is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual fact. It's something even more real than your physical. You know, Billy Graham said, he said, one day you hear that Billy Graham died, he said, don't believe a word of it. He said, don't believe them. He said, I only changed the address. He said, I'll be more alive then than now. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. This man knew what he... No, man, people describe the experience coming near him. Just coming near this man. The presence of God was oozing. No wonder he had such tremendous results. No wonder. I thought it was only stadium. I didn't know he spoke to intelligentsias. Those who don't, the argument chief in universities. He spoke to them. He stood before them. And God's glory showed up. That was why he preached in every 148 countries of the world. The stadiums were to the brim. They showed pictures of people from here. 1 point something billion. When you have a billion people coming to listen to all together in a crusade of 7 days or something. They run into million. That's the power of God. I want to hear about such people. Praise the Lord. So God says, I have made thee. I have what? But here was the man still looking the same. Okay? Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, those things which you don't see, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of what? If he didn't believe, he will not be. He will stop God. So he had to believe so that he would become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. According to that church which was what? Not according to that which he felt or looked like or people told him. It's according to that which was spoken. God said, I made you. And the scripture said, he had to believe that to become. And he believed what God said in a simple term. Just believe that which was spoken. Very simple thing. That he's made me. He's made me. He's made me. He's made me. Amen? So shall thy seed be. 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. He considered what? What was Peter considering? He saw the physical, and God said, I'm not there. And then the physical produced unbelief, doubt, and the power stopped. Abraham refused to consider the physical. What was Abraham considering? What God said. What God said. When Jesus came to his hometown and started preaching, what were they considering? His physical. His physical. So every single time you begin to consider the physical, you are disconnected from what God is doing. That's why you stop God. Two cannot work together. You just stop it. So, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. You see, there was no doubt coming. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So he staggered not. Right? What is staggering? I want to tell you something. When God gives you his word, he's right with you, right? To perform it. If you believe it. But here you are going, and then something happens. Stretch forth the hand. Stretch your hand. Okay, stay there. Don't come. Stay. No, go back. Stretch the one you can stretch. Okay. And I said to him, I can't pass. I can't what? Pass. Didn't you see? Stretch for hand. And he says, okay, I keep moving, but I'm here. What is God now? Where am I? He says, evil heart of unbelief will separate you from the living. What am I looking at? That. I'm not looking at him. But he's the one that said, let's go. What it means is that you are not God. Because if you are God, why is this man here? And he says, it doesn't matter. I am God. He can't stop me from being God. If I open a door, he can't close it. Follow me and see wonders. It's an opportunity for you to see me more and know my glory. His coming presents you opportunity, great opportunity to be my witness
to go to the world and say to the world, I want to take a stand because Jesus is being judged. I want to take a stand and give a testimony. And his witness, he gave me this, and this man showed up. When we went, sure, the thing went away. Oh my God. See what the Lord. He said, no, it's opportunity. I want you to see me at work. Because if he doesn't show up, you won't know who I am. So let him show up. It's okay. But believe what I said. Let's keep going. And then Abraham, 100 years old, was. Sarah's own was. They were. And the Bible says Abraham refused to look at them. Where was he looking? And he and God were walking. 100 years old. Sarah's body. And Isaac. And today, even though Abraham is dead, he's a witness. Thank you. He said, what? Jesus said, you go and be my witnesses. Tell them. Because they won't believe unless they see. They won't believe unless they see. They won't believe unless they what? Praise the Lord. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Now, what Abraham did not waver because he was focused on what God has said, knowing that this is a spiritual reality. This is more truthful than the physical things you are seeing. And then Peter wavered because he was looking at the wave. And then in Mark chapter 14, they didn't believe him because they were looking at Jesus from the natural point of view. What did Paul say? He said, we used to know him from the natural point of view. He said, we do that no more. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? Now, to develop this kind of faith that Abraham showed, that will not waver, that will not stagger, you need to understand that the scripture tells us how it comes. Abraham had a consistent, unwavering focus on what God said. Everybody say a consistent. Say it, a consistent and unwavering focus on what God said. Let's say it again. A consistent and unwavering focus on what God said. Because if you waver your sight from what God says, your faith will waver along with it. And doubt will come. So the scripture tells us everything. Now let me read some of them. In Psalm 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. The simple is people who will accept it. Who will accept it the way it is. The entrance of the word giveth light, and give it understanding. So until the word enters, there is no light, there is no understanding, and there is no faith. And Peter said it in 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. This is New King James Version I'm reading. Which you do well to heed. There's somebody here, you've been standing on faith on something, and the devil is hitting you left, right, and center to doubt God. Don't listen to the devil, just stand where you are. All is well. He that promised is good. The work is finished. Don't look in the natural. Stay where you are. Finally, it will be seen. Amen. So, 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shineth in a dark place. You do well to heed it until. There is the word until. Did you see it there? You heed this word, church. I'm telling you, you heed this word until. What does until mean? You have to continue until this thing happens. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises where? In your heart. Church, let me tell us, this is where many people have problems. They read it, they think it has entered. It hasn't entered. And they tell us, I have faith. You don't have faith, nothing. Faith and patience go hand in hand. Don't have faith, nothing. Don't have faith. That you read one scripture doesn't mean you have faith. No. Say, Pastor, I know it now. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. But this thing is not going. That's your mouth has revealed that you don't believe it. That's exactly what he said. Has revealed what you expect. You didn't expect it to work anyway. Because you don't have faith about it. Church, you need to follow scripture. The Holy Spirit said there is an until. You do well to heed. Focus. 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 Put your eyes on it. Keep looking at it. Keep meditating on it. Keep praying and say, Lord, this word opened my eyes to see this thing. I need to understand it. Keep doing that. The thing will enter. And when it enters, faith is automatic. Amen. You don't walk it up. It's not something you walk up and say, let me have it. Not like that. It's automatic. And when faith comes, see the action. Praise the Lord. There is this persuasion you have. There is this assurance. That's what I teach you on Thursday. And the Lord gave me a lot of instructions. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding you. There's this assurance that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Word, settles in your spirit. That you know that you know that you know that you know and that you know that this is true. That's called faith. Faith does not come by generic reading. What is generic? Huh? Okay, I'm a pharmacist. Let me remove this pharmacy thing. That tells you pharmacy is the greatest profession. Because I asked you a question, none of you could answer it. Nobody knows what generic means. What is branded? Something for everybody. For everybody. Hey, pharmacy is awesome. Maybe I go back there. Church, listen to me. Let's solve this problem once and for all. Faith doesn't come from generic reading the Bible. You don't get faith back. I don't know how to stop this thing. Faith does not come by generic what? Reading the Bible. Let me say it here, because it's your life at stake. Faith doesn't come by generic reading the Bible. Faith comes by branded by reading the Bible. God speaks to you. Faith comes from what God is what? Telling you personally. It's not by generic. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, is a generic statement. But you get a revelation that by the stripes of Jesus, I was. They are not the same thing. Everybody can believe. Can God heal? Yeah. Has he healed you? Well. Let me say it again. Abraham's faith came because God spoke to him. Some people wake up and say, by faith, I'm going to collect this. You don't collect. God didn't tell you anything. Didn't tell you nothing. You can't walk up and say, I can believe this portion of the chairs are my own. God didn't tell you they are your own. You can try all you want to. You're wasting your time. Church is about your life. I'm telling you. It is Rhema that brings faith. There's a quickening of the spirit that drops in your spirit that brings that light and understanding as it relates to you personally. That's why a lot of people go around struggling. Say, I have faith. You don't have faith, nothing. Because if you do have faith, you will be asking me, Pastor, do I have faith? Because you know it. You know it. If you have faith, your language will change. The Bible says faith has a good report. If you have faith, even though things are crumbling, your language, because you know, you don't need any Jupiter to tell you. You have received this thing from the Lord. You know it is real. You know it is true. And they can't take it. And fear has no portion there. But when you start looking at the natural and start getting information from the natural, confusion will, and doubt will, and the power of God will stop. That's why you need to be careful who you are listening to. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Some things will destroy your faith. And many religious leaders destroy people's faith. I'm not kidding. They excuse things, deny the power of God. They think science has taken over from the Holy Spirit. And then God can't do anything anymore. Unbelieving believers. The Bible says, from such, do what? Turn away. Because they will destroy your faith. They think that believing God is foolishness. Many people are like that. Many. Because you come, listen, they're not the arbiter of truth. If you, it doesn't work for you, that doesn't mean that it's not true. It doesn't mean it's not true. The Bible is the arbiter. If the Bible says it, that's it. Anybody can believe. Jesus said, hey, the issue is not if I can, it's can you believe? Because all things are what? Possible. You can believe. Praise the Lord. So we need to be focused. Go to the scripture and learn the art of meditation. Bring it back. Focus on it. Because you have a problem, you have an issue. Focus on it then. Believe you me, until the daylight. If he goes, he gives you the understanding that destiny is true. But not before then. Praise the Lord. You know, they told the story of bubonic plague killing people in South Africa. Bubonic, many years back, they were killing thousands in South Africa. And it was so dangerous that the foam from them, if you touch the foam, the virus will also, yeah. And there was this brother that was ministering in South Africa, and most of his members were dying. All he was doing was burying them. All he was doing was, they'll be burying this family. They called him, said, so he went to the Lord. He said, are we all going to die? Is this from you? What is this? And as he was praying, the Lord gave him one scripture. That's one scripture. By his stripes, are healed. And Christ became a curse for us so that we can't have any other curse. That revelation, that's all he got. The thing came into his spirit. Faith came along. And he brought the remaining members of the church together quickly and started sharing what the Lord told him. Do you know that they stopped in his church? Nobody died again. That was the end. Then he started to go to the villages now and started praying for them. They were getting healed one by one, all over the place, getting healed one by one, all over the place, healing. And then British government sent a ship, sent doctors and things to him and said, you need protection. He said, I don't need it. I have the greater one in me. And he challenged them to do experiment. This, what I'm telling you is true. What's his name? Eh? What's his name? John G. Lake. So he put the foam in his palm. He said, I want to show you that this is true. They put it in his palm, put it under the microscope, all the virus dead, just by touching him. Why? He said, there's a power that worketh. It didn't come by, it came by revelation to him, to his spirit, that this word, the entrance of the word bringeth light, and then gives what? So he had that understanding, that built faith that wasn't there. And the great healing ministry burst out. From there, God used the man to heal thousands of people from one revelation. Just one, not two. So Peter said, you must study it until, everybody say until. Okay, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, my what? and my daughter attend to my words. Incline thy ear, what? Is it not the same thing? Give it attention. Why? Continue. Let them not depart from where? Keep them in the midst. You see, he's giving us assignment what to do. It takes patience and discipline to do these things. That's why the Lord taught me. He said Christians lose battles because they are not disciplined. They can't stay together. They can't keep quiet. They can't study quiet. They are not disciplined. He said everything distracts them. So how can they win? For they are life unto everybody, right? No, those that find them. Has he entered? Has he given revelation? Has he given understanding? You haven't found it yet. When you find it, then it becomes hell to all their flesh and life. Keep their heart with what? Orderly. For out of it comes. Praise the Lord. Then the last point I want to bring. Are you tired? Did you get anything? I want to make one more point. I have 6 minutes. And I want you to listen to me. If you don't walk in love, church, you won't have faith. The Bible says, he that hateth his brother is what? And abideth in death. And walks in darkness. Walks in what? Darkness. He walks in what? Darkness. He walks in what? Now, he's walking in darkness. Give me Bible. Isn't it where can you come from behind that capture me? Just come from behind. Just come. Come. Is anybody, did I see anything? Is anybody coming to, you see? I don't even know who has captured me. You know what he can do? Push me wherever, and then another person come. Another person come and capture. Another person. Okay. You see where I am? I'm now a victim of all these forces. Confusion, and more confusion. Leave me before I fight all of you. Even my destiny is gone. I don't know if you saw what I was trying to show. When you walk, when they talk of blindness, it's not physical. Remember what I told you? I said, listen, the things that God does is spiritual. Thank you. Spiritual. He's not talking about physical blindness. He says you're walking in darkness, you are spiritually blind. And if you are spiritually blind, tell me how you can understand the Bible. Explain it to me. And how do you know that if the enemy is coming to attack you? You are in darkness. That's why he said, you abide in death. If my prayer is not working, that's the first place I will look. And tell yourself what? The truth. Because there's this scratching. Say, Pastor, in fact, Pastor, I've forgiven him. In fact, Pastor, I've forgiven him. But there's this scratching. The Bible calls it root of bitterness. It says it defies you. And it says, that's the scripture I was reading. Pursue peace with all men. And what? Then he went on to say that this thing, root of bitterness, will defile you, make you unholy. That's what he said, pursue peace and holiness. That holiness is talking about defilement by root of bitterness. He said, if you have it, you can't see God because you are blind. They're blinded. And that's what produces all this defiling people gossiping here. Because you're full of defilement. After Sunday, I went home. The Lord said to me, He said, did you realize? I never heard it from anybody. He said, did you realize the first time my spirit came on the church? He said they were in one. He said the second time they were in one. He said, if the devil wants to make a church ineffective, he will attack that unit. He said, if they are not in one accord, nothing is happening. He said, that's what he tries to do to the church. And he has agents in your midst whose mouth will never close. All they do is gossip. And the devil is using them to try to divide that one accord. But he said, their destruction will be terrible. There are people here being used by the devil. See these beautiful girls? Leave them alone. Are you married yet? Is it your business? Is it your business, for God's sake? Is that why you came to church? Is anybody talking to you? Shut up and get out. I've told them, anybody talking to you like this, tell me. I'll kick the person out of the church. He didn't come here to worship. He came here to divide our unity. I won't let them. I said, won't let them. Yeah. The Lord said, do you know the first time the Holy Spirit fell on the church? They were in one accord. He said, fast forward. They were also what? And my power came. He said, with great power they witnessed. He said, if the devil wants to attack a church, a family, Jesus said they must be one so that God can use them as one. Because a kingdom divided cannot function. So you and I have a duty to fight it. When they bring that gossip, understand that that is the agent wanting to divide us now. Tell them, I don't want to hear that thing. Love does not keep a record of wrong. Can I hear amen? Amen. Well, I say love, because really, I'm your pastor, but I have fault. I wish I'm faultless. I'm not. Don't, if you ask my wife, she'll give you a litany of. But she won't now because she's busy. Ask my children, they tell you now. We're here to be built up. The Bible says, enlarge your heart because of one another's fault. I have fault. How can I leave my fault and be focusing on her fault? That's the devil. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, you have plank where? Stop looking at people's speck. The church can fight the devil, not only by abandoning and losing, but when he brings that destructive attack to you, to poison you against your brother or sister, tell the person, stop that thing. I don't want to hear you. I'm one with her, not because she's perfect. I'm one with her because Jesus brought us together. And yes, it's my sister. Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, give him room. Give her room. I am not. We are going from glory to glory. The one he doesn't know today, he will hear it, know it tomorrow now. Give him opportunity. Allow God. God is not finished. We are a building. God is what? Building. And he that started the good work, finished. So shut up your mouth. I am not going to speak evil against my brother. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Come on. Let's rise up.
You have just listened to another teaching from the Fountain of the Living Word Church family. Please visit http://ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.